July 25th, 2016, it's a Watt from Pedro show.
The dogs out.
For Pedro Show here in Pedro, my pad. Brother Matt's still unavailable because of his teaching schedule this summer. But I'm not alone because through the magic of Skype, I got Eric from France. What town?
From Nantes.
Okay.
On the west coast.
Nantes, yeah. Brittany.
Exactly.
Yeah. People, if you know geography of France, they got a west coast like we do. And that's kind of where he is.
Mm-hmm.
But a little more north, not by Spain, a little more.
Yeah, yeah. It's more, it's quite in the middle of the country, basically. Not far from the sea, about a 40-minute drive from the sea.
And also there's a connection, right, with, because the name, with the Celtic Brittany.
Yeah.
Britain, yeah.
Brittany has a connection with Ireland, Wales, Scotland, and Basque country as well, and some areas of Portugal.
Okay.
The Briton language is very strange, like it's very different from French.
Oh, that's right. When you're in there, that area, there's two signs for the streets.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And then also I remember a town, Kempire with the K, and then with the French, it's with the Q. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And they're trying to maintain this language because it's a real language. Like, it has like its own literature, music, culture, everything. So they're trying to keep it alive, and it's been doing pretty well, I think, since I've been born. In the past 30 years, it's really progressing, and now there are schools that make you learn both languages, French and Breton.
Okay.
So that's cool.
You say it sounds funny. Is it funny like when French people hear Quebecois?
No, it's like when French people hear Russian or something. Like,
oh, okay. It's even weirder, because I heard that it's pretty funny to hear a Quebecois person when you're in France.
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious.
Well, some old-fashioned words, French. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, the words, what's funny about it is that the words are pronounced totally different.
Okay.
But here we're talking about a total different language.
Okay. New album, I should say, what music we just heard. Naima, John Coltrane live at the Village Gate, July 23rd, 1961. And then Papier T, In the Right Place, from the new album, The Screw, which I've been playing for weeks now. And I really like it. What number record is it for you guys?
It's our fourth album.
Fourth album. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, okay. I thought it was something like that. Papier Tigre is in English, Paper Tiger. And I got to know these cats by playing with them, which is the best way, right?
You get to
share the stage with them. And in France, a bunch of gigs, maybe 9 gigs. It was great. I want to know what went into this record, this fourth record. Like, let's start from the beginning. When did you start writing for it?
We took a year off after touring the last album.
Yeah.
Because we were working on like other bands, and we have this project called La Colonie de Vacances, which involves our band and 3 other bands, and we play on 4 different stages at the same time.
Right.
We were writing music for that and touring with that, and it took a lot of time because it's like it's having 4 bands at the same time always makes things more complicated anyway. So we were like, yeah, we're going to wait until we were finally like really available to work on new music, and so we just started writing. It took a couple of months, maybe on and off, and then we started recording right away, which is probably the only time we did this, which is
playing
songs live before and
without doing gigs. Okay. But you didn't.
So it was a different process for us.
You didn't write it in the studio though. You wrote it still in a practice pad. You just didn't do gigs.
Oh, yeah. We don't have enough money to actually just fool around in the studio and say, hey, maybe we should write a song.
I know people that'll go in the studio with no material.
Yeah, but to me it seems like a big waste of time. If things work out, it's great, but if it doesn't work out, it's like everybody's wasting time, sound guy and everything.
Talk pad time is a lot more cheap than studio time. So what studio did you do it at?
For the first time, we stayed at home. The previous album was recorded at Albini's place at Electrical. This time we took more time, like a week or no, a little bit more, 10 days, just to track. And we did it over at a friend's house who has like 2 houses. One house is a studio, and then right next door there's his house. So we stayed over at his place for 10 days and recorded a bunch of songs, and then we took a lot of time. It's the first time we really got involved in the mixing process and all that. Like, it's the first time we actually worked with someone and spent the whole process every day going to the studio and saying, maybe I want this to sound like that or like this. So it was a different, it was very interesting for us to be really hands-on and not like just record the music and say, all right, try to do your best or something like that, which is what we did on the previous albums.
No, I know what you mean. That's the Minutemen, we never trusted our own ears and stuff, so we had Spot and Ethan James. We just,
yeah.
But then you miss out on a chance to learn stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I think it's worth it to take the dive.
It's really cool to just pop in, record songs, and then just leave and try to just be... And well, it's just that the engineer is trying to capture this moment. But if you're trying to put like effects and work on sounds and do like overdubs, then you have to be there because every little sound that you try to add or take off really is supposed to really make sense. You're not just recording a live band playing together. So that was why we were more there. And obviously we knew more of the recording process now than we did at the beginning. So it also made more sense. Like we were talking in real technical points instead of just, I want the guitar to be more blue-like or whatever you can say in those situations.
Yeah. So like this tune we started the show off with, In the Right Place. What you can tell, yeah. Yeah. What can you tell me about that tune?
That song actually came from a demo track me and Arthur, the other guitar player, we were working on, and once Pierre started playing on it in the practice space, the whole song changed completely for the better. But at the beginning I was like, wow, if every song that we've tried to work on a little bit changes that much. So it took us a lot of time.
And evolve?
Oh yeah, it changed like completely. Like even the maybe, I don't know, 10% of the song that we started with isn't even, like, it's maybe there, but it's very, like, useless. Like, the song is just completely different. Like, it turned into a jam.
Okay. Pierre is the drummer for Papier.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're actually a two-guitar and drum trio. So what he was saying was him and the other guitar man, Arthur, because Eric's a guitar man also, they came up with this piece, and then when they brought in the drummy, it evolved. But that's the neat thing about being in a band, an ensemble.
Yeah, and the thing is, we always try to write everything together, or most of the time.
Yes.
So it's everyone's song instead of like some guy coming up with a song and trying to like teach the riff or something to the other guys. It feels more, I don't know, feels more like us anyway. It feels like everybody's involved at every stage of the process, and that's good.
Yeah. Okay, let's listen to some music.
My girl's so nice, she wears pink dress, she likes strangers, I can't say I do. Yeah.
bless your soul. Now I feel your hands with kisses and a tootsie roll. Reality is not for me, and it makes me laugh. Oh, fantasy world and Disney girls, I'm coming back. Patty Page in summer days on old Cape Cod. Happy time. I'm slowing down. It's a turn back world with a local girl in a smaller town. Open cars and clear stars, that's what I've lacked. Oh, fantasy world and Disney girls, I'm coming back.
Game.
Watt from Pedro show. We heard Lemon Kittens with Chalet D'Amour. King Champion Sounds, brand new album from them, AJ. Holland with the Learning the Game, the Negative Example. That's Bucky Pope out of Madison. Disney Girls, Psychic Temple. Chris Schlarb is going to be on the show in a couple weeks. Overture. Saint Patron de Rien Panto. Paon. This is a very sad story. This lady got cancer and died. She had a baby, though, 17 months before. Very sad. A friend of mine from North Canada there. Chapeau. Just seems stuff isn't fair sometimes, but the baby maybe will do music. Linda Lovelace, brand new. Clumps, brand new. Dream the Electric Sheep, Elizabeth. Gigi Band, Jack London Station, Oakland. They're from Oaktown. And finally, Mr. Tom with Tobacco and Fantasy Trash Wave out of P-Town. Here with Eric, talking about the new album, Screw. Where does this title come from?
Well, we started recording, and it's been a special time here in the past 2 years with terrorism and the politics it seems to generate and all these problems coming up. It felt like we've had this major demonstrations for the past 30 years on this airport in a place called Notre-Dame-des-Landes, which is about 45 miles from Nantes, and they're trying to build this major airport, and it's on a swamp that is very useful ecologically. And it's a long story to explain.
I think we call them wetlands because
people have been demonstrating on this useless, huge project that involves big corporations, the state, money, and you know all those problems that come up when big corporations and states get together to do this kind of thing, where they seem to be the only people taking advantage of that situation. But so basically we felt like we were screwed from everywhere at the same time, and it seemed like the most appropriate title because it kind of was the thread through all the lyrics. So that's why we named the album The Screw.
I know, living in Pedro by the water, if you don't have wetlands,
yeah,
there's no filter for the runoff when it rains.
Exactly.
And it's an ecological nightmare. When you have so much cement, it just runs into the sea with all the poisons and stuff that'll feed bacteria. You need wetlands. So down the road, you're going to end up spending all kinds of money to reintroduce that stuff. It's really short-sighted kind of thinking there. So
exactly.
Okay. So this problem actually started before you were born. It's been going on for a while.
It's been going on, and we've played like benefit shows for that, and a lot of French artists, even major artists, have contributed to that cause. Unfortunately, there's been a vote recently that seems like the project is going to happen, but still, I don't know. It's a long process. There's a lot of lawyers and stuff involved, and that's just locally. Like even the country and stuff that's going on right now is just. I mean, sometimes it's hard to believe that people are actually talking about themselves that way, or the problem with the Muslim community that we have here and stuff. I mean, things are really going crazy sometimes. It's really hard to keep a cold head and try to stay wise.
Yeah, The Screw, yeah. Actually, we used to have an old slang for prison guards.
Yeah.
Those were screws. You watch them old Jimmy Cagney movies. And
Yeah, I searched a little bit on that, and I read some stuff about that before.
I think it's the same idea. You're getting tortured and stuff. You know, the turn of the screw, right? The slow getting wrong. Interesting. So, in you guys' songwriting stuff, yeah, they're kind of topical, right? It's about what's going on. It's not just internal stuff.
It's mostly internal stuff, but it never. I try not to get away from what's going on. There's always stuff about what's going on because whatever's internal, you're very influenced by everything that surrounds you, everything that's going on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. For example, let's say I go into a steam room. I'm gonna get hot.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to either think about getting hotter or maybe ice cubes. I'm either going to go with it or I'm going to react against you. Right. You are connected. Eric, what would you, if you have any, could you name influence?
The influences?
I think you personally got in music.
Oh, and for me? Yeah. I think we really grew up listening to... the indie rock bands of our time that were like Nirvana and Fugazi and stuff like that. And as we got older, I think we...
No, less younger. We never get older. We just get less younger.
Yeah, as we got a little bit younger, we started
less younger.
A lot of stuff like This Heat and... stuff that were a little bit harder to listen to when we were kids, like... I don't know, stuff like even like free jazz or contemporary music or I've been very big pop fan since I was a kid, so I was always listening to stuff like the Beatles and the Beach Boys and all the folky stuff as well, Dylan and Leonard Cohen and stuff like that. So I've always been listening to this kind of songwriting geniuses. And at the same time, I've always been very interested in experiments around rock music that can go from a very wide array of different types of music.
What about writers?
Writers. Well, there's a lot of French writers. Obviously, yeah. People like Camus.
Yeah.
And all the existentialists, people that we learn about in school.
You mean all of them, like Soren Kierkegaard?
Yeah, even stuff like that. I wasn't a philosophy major, but I did a lot of literature in university. Okay. And I've been very interested in American writers as well. A lot of the Beat Generation, going through like even Emerson and Thoreau.
William S. Burroughs. And Jack what? Kerouac, when you say Beat, you mean...
Kerouac, I mean...
William S. Burroughs.
Yeah.
There might be a guy you want to check out called Charlie Plymell. He wrote a book, Last of the Moccasins. And he actually lived with Allen Ginsberg and Neil Cassidy for a little bit in San Francisco.
All right. Plymell.
P-L-Y... N-E-L-L. He's from Wichita, Kansas. Older gentleman now lives in Cherry Valley with his wife, Pam. Great cat. He actually printed the first Zap comics, if you know. I think Mr. Crumb lives in your country now.
Yeah.
He traded all his rights for his drawings for a pad there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. When you talk about French writers, English writers, people might not know your good accent. You actually lived in the U.S. for a while.
Yeah, I learned how to read and write in English in Tulsa, Oklahoma, because me and my family, we moved there when I was 5, and we moved back to Nantes when I was 11.
Okay, so you're formative.
So all your, like, if you come over to France, don't expect too many people to speak exactly like I do. They might have a...
But it's a lot better. In the older days, there was a lot less English. I think
the EU
and stuff helped push a little... Or, you know, not losing French, but also bring in some English in there.
Well, I think...
With young people.
Yeah, and the way things work, I mean, if you're not even talking about English, but it's kind of hard to just speak one language, like, you kind of have to adapt if you want to, like, keep an open mind to the world and, like, even, like, see stuff on the internet and stuff like that. You at least got to speak, I don't know, at least two languages, which is great, and I think everybody likes that, and it's also a great mindset, like, the way your brain evolves when you're learning a few languages. Like, there's always some things you want to say in English, or, for example, I speak Italian, there's always a few situations where some Italian words are just perfect for what I mean, and I can't even find the exact translation in French or English. So I think that's really great.
So it's left you with options. And, perspective. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, July 25, 2016. Special guest Eric from Papier T. Hold tight for hour two. January 25, 2016. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
please too. I did my best, all that I can do. But everything that you gave me, let's call it a loan. While I'm sailing down the world alone. While I'm sailing down the world alone. While I'm sailing down the world alone. While I'm sailing down the world alone.
amazing how very little regard large pharmaceutical companies have for their very own paying customers. I know it is the insurance. Don't start me on that. I pay into the racket. I need what I take to stay in remission. I really have no choice, but 30 little pills cost $800 a month. This weighs heavily on my mind. Surely I have only a copay, but I have a conscience too. The cost is staggering. Someone has to pay. Someone else makes a big profit to do what? Advertise? If they are so eager to help, they can really make it available to so many who need it to erase so much anger. But profit is more important than helping human beings. The stuff is there already, but it could do a lot of good, but they won't let it go generic. Not for the lives of us. I guess I am privileged, one of the few with health insurance. I would like to be free, but I'm beholden to the company that makes those little pills. What a masterstroke to get so much out of so little, then price it far out of range for an ordinary person. This drives cost upward, limiting the availability of help. I wish I could do something besides just take my pills.
Watch from Pedro Show started the second hour off with Pierre Teague doing Each and Every. Wait, Eric, what can you tell us about that tune?
That tune is specifically on the there was this newspaper in France that all the writers got killed. It was in July 2015. And the newspaper is called Charlie Hebdo, and for a lot of people,
kind of a humor,
yeah, exactly. And it was very inspired by the French politics of the late '60s, and so for the people that are my parents' age, they're very important guys. They used to go up drunk on national television and do all these crazy stuff that would be with the, you know, just crazy guys, and they got shot because they did too many provocative sketches of Mahomet, and so it was a big, like, big disaster, because people being shot in the center of Paris by organized crime was something really new to for French people.
Of course, and the lack of tolerance.
That song the lyrics anyway kind of reflect on that event, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, like a song like that. Do you like set out to write something like that, or does it accidentally just spill out?
It kind of accidentally just spills out, and at the same time, after it spills out, we kind of have to think about it. And
right. Put it in a tune. Yeah.
But we really work on those accidents a lot. Like, sometimes we're just really jamming out of the blue. No one comes up with anything, and then just like this sort of drum beat or tiny guitar riff or anything will you know, set us on a track to some new songs. So that's kind of the way it works.
I figured you didn't like get a copy of the newspaper and just start looking at headlines and like, oh, let's write a tune here.
you got emotion, you got feeling,
and then you go join together with your band brothers and you make a tune. Yeah, very interesting. Here, let's hear some more music. Oh no, I should say what we just heard after Each and Every. We heard Chris Murphy, brand new, Sailing the World Alone, Accidents of God by Lester Bangs and the Delinquents. He was from Cream Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a boy, that was like, there was no zines.
Yeah.
And that was the closest thing to, you know,
to a zine,
compared to all the other jive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were like shills for big labels, you know.
Yeah.
A friend of Retro Meltzer's, Lister Banks. And the 210s, brand new, Can't Pull Through, and Joe Brewer finally with his poem 30 Little Pills. But hell, here's a bunch of music from Mr. Ben, South London. They got quite a scene there, and a big collective of bands, and he sent me some music, so let's check that out. Yeah. We heard Miss Susan doing Mood Replica Loop Steps Part 1. Pretty long title for a 25-second tune. It's like, minute, man. You know, I've been playing these songs I wrote for D. Boone and Georgie like 35, some of them 37 years ago, and some of them never got used. And really strange. Definitely D. Boone and Georgie wrote the better songs. But mine are, they're very weird. They're strange. And I did it yesterday at this gig where I was just on the bass and no voice, just a little. Yeah, I was doing little tiny instrumental versions of all these little things. It ended up being almost an hour. That was a trip.
So how many songs did you play?
Well, they were like parts of them, and I melded them into one big one.
Oh yeah, all right.
Like a 50-minute song made of all these little parts of these little. Then we heard Hearst Pileup, Pretty Shiny Things, Dismantle Mentality, Hello Bastards, Pitch Black from the Mary X Incident, Die X with Guilt Trip, Fuck Jar with Club Sarosa, Who's Been Playing My Roses Red, no, Painting My Roses Red by the Dire Sisters, Sports Bread by Bearded Youth Quest, that's a name, and Peace in the Buddha's Palm by Señor Al and the Honolulus. So yes, South London, lots of bands have them. Actually, SoCal, we got a lot of bands happening too.
Yeah,
I think in for sure Brooklyn. Yeah, some places draw kind of a magnet. Maybe the small town thing is more tough than maybe like a St. Louis, kind of a middle town. I don't know. Living in Pedro, I'm close enough to Hollywood where I don't have to live there, but I can play a gig there.
So yeah,
it's weird being in a metro area is a different kind of thing. Yeah. But I don't think if I could live in Pedro, I would live in this metro area. A lot of SoCal, it's too hard for me. Like the traffic. Right. Like Paris, right?
Yeah,
man, that Paris, that traffic, and London, and every big town. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, and I think there's also a very different way, I think, in Europe than there would be in the States. It sort of seems like the people have got to move, like, to Chicago or Portland, Seattle, South California, or New York to get closer also to the labels and to really what's happening. Seems to be a little bit more like that. In Europe, it's just so expensive to live in some of those major cities.
Yeah, exactly.
But
believe me, Eric, New York City, and a lot of this SoCal here, too.
Yeah, I know.
I'm in the harbor, and it's a working harbor, and we got some hood, so it's, you know, a little rougher and some more econo.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's still secret, I don't know. I don't know. We have this thing, I don't know if it's big in France, but gentrification?
Yeah,
where you find working class, kind of poor, beat down neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And you go in there with the money, right? And you kind of drive out the these neighborhoods attract artist types, you know, econo people.
Yeah.
But then that makes another kind of people, yuppie people, kind of covet that.
Yeah.
And trouble is when they come in there, they kind of sterilize. It's all the stuff they liked. Yeah, gentrification is interesting. Some neighborhoods are trying to fight back. Like when they see the realtor taking people on little trips, little guided tours, they'll show up at these pads and like, you're not, we're your neighbors. You really want to move here?
Yeah.
Some cat was telling me that yesterday, man, in Boyle Heights, East LA. And interesting. You know, I don't think we really think about the real estate game, property, neighborhoods. Do people really live where they pick, or is there some outside pressures or something? It's trippy about that.
I think there's a lot of outside pressures.
I remember when I met Bob Mould. You know Husker Du, right?
Yeah.
He was in school, because me and D. Boone put out their first album. And hey, Bob, what are you studying in college? He goes, urban planning. And I go, like, urban planning? You know, in my mind I'm thinking. But now, and he had that song, too, Divide and Conquer. It was one riff. Yeah. But what he was talking, you know, about Flip Your Wig, this out. Song, it's one riff, but what he was talking about was, I mean, there's something about, I don't know if you could be an urban planner, but It is an interesting kind of thing. Then I've heard other people say it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, a certain sense. I was just curious about how things over there.
Things are exactly the same.
Okay.
I mean, I think the Western countries are getting really close to one another. It's not so different.
Okay, what about...
In those terms, anyway.
What about touring?
And touring has become a little bit harder than it used to be in Europe. I don't know if you've seen that on...
Yeah.
It seems like there's more and more European bands.
Yeah.
And less and less venues.
And gig-goers.
I don't know if you're established enough, you can always make things happen.
We're at the end of the second hour, July 25, 2016, Dishwap Peter Show. Special guest, Eric from Papier D. Hold tight for hour three. July 25, 2016. It's the third hour on the Watt for Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro show. Started the third hour off with the Big Daddy from The Screw. It's called Matter of Minutes, Papier T. People, if you're hearing a bunch of noise, next door, they were working on this pad, and the wind was blowing. I mean, they were working on the foundation and blew it right off the jack, so it was all destroyed. Now they're trying to get it out of there. So if there's a bunch of noise, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Pardon I can hear you fine.
Yeah, but the people listening.
Oh, sorry.
I'll tell you the worst sound is a dude with a beer bottle on the table. Hearing that dink, 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 that's the most annoying. So maybe trucks next door is nothing. I can't stand that sound. Yeah, the dink, dink, dink. Then we heard a Swarm of Bees, Sinatra 3, Layman with Manana Machine, Shy Squad, Bums Dunger, Cut with Parasite, Reputation from the Mailman, and finally Roger the Optometrist, the Broken Oak Duet. I think they're out of Worcester. Remember those guys, they made us some pasta. You know what, we should tell people a brief little history of Papier Tigre.
We started Papier Tigre in 2006. We've known each other since we were in high school. Met when we were 13, 14, something like that. So even earlier than high school. We've been playing music since, and we played in a few bands with other people before that. And when we were, after I finished my university studies and guys were still studying in Nantes, so I came back here and we were like, all right, let's take some time off and really play some music now that we've got our degree and not wanting to get a regular job. So we started touring and we got lucky because a lot of people wanted to see us play. So our first demo was actually our first album, and it had like 8 songs, and it was just released by our friends who had put up a record label in our town. And so basically, yeah, we started touring, and on with that first album, we were able to go and play in Brazil, and it was released there, and we played in China as well, and we did a big European tour. So since then, it's been a lot of music and a lot of traveling and a lot of shows, but that's what we wanted, so we're really happy with that. I don't know what else I can say.
That's good. In this tune, A Matter of Minutes, what can you tell me about that?
That tune was like, we had this sort of piano one, the drummer wanted to play around with this really stupid rhythm that would go 1-1-1-1 and then 2, like da 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 da.
Yeah.
And and we were trying to build a song around that, but it didn't work at all. So I told him, yeah, how about we just play and see what happens. So we got into this kind of jam, this kind of structured jam that we kept on doing every time we got together to play. Yeah. And it sort of got its own shape at the end just because that was the way we played it a couple of times in a row. So basically the song kind of shaped itself.
Yeah, it's not as refined, strange, maybe. But yeah, okay.
But and then we played that with a dance company that offered us to write some music for them. So I thought that was a good piece we could play with them, and it was super aggressive for the people that were seated, and it kind of was really cool to see all these very fit dancers doing all this crazy stuff while we were playing live. To this,
you were
kind
on the
of
same
posh
stage?
Audiences.
You were all on the same stage?
Yeah, we were all on the, there were 6 dancers and us playing live, basically.
Right.
It was mostly instrumental, and we wanted to do some long pieces so they could really, you know, play with the music. Our music is so, like, there's a lot of breaks and cuts, and it keeps, like, it's too short for them to actually get something going on. So it kind of worked. We wrote that piece for the dance project, and at the same time, we were like, oh, we really like playing this, so we're going to keep it for ourselves. Then we kind of changed it for the album, and it's become a really cool song to play live, actually.
I have it. Okay, let's listen to the last bit of music for this edition.
Thank you. Highway 61, where they'll bury me when my days are done. I was born up north, where the road begun. Now I live where it ends in the setting sun. Thunder Bay, down to New Orleans, the American music story unfolds. Chasing the river as it twists and turns, this is where my story is told. Focused as Zydeco through the home of the blues, following the mightiest river in my ancestors' shoes. My own journey has ranged from sorrow to fun. I'm turning 61, Highway 61. Turning 61 on Highway 61, where I rode my motorcycle when I was young. I went out to the crossroads, I sought out the blues. From the Delta to the hill country, I couldn't lose. Thunder Bay down to New Orleans, the American music story unfolds. Chasing the river as it twists and turns, this is where my story is told. The blues are loaded, the blues are sweet. Men and women who sang the blues were all happy to meet. The tall skinny kid, the enthusiastic one, turning 61 on Highway 61. 61 may not be a milestone, but it means a lot to me. Never figured I'd live this long. There's so much left to see. Turning 61, Highway 61, the highway we rode on to see the Queen. Came all the way from England around 59. She waved as she passed us. She was young and fine. Thunder Bay down to New Orleans, the American music story unfolds. Chasing the river as it twists and turns, this is where my story is told. I remember stop traffic in Des Moines in 63, not too long before they shot President Kennedy. Down in the boondocks was number one. I'm turning 61, Highway 61. I'm turning 61 on Highway 61, the road Bob Dylan made famous in a song. Was from heaven where they mine the coal. He took 61 to St. Paul to feed his soul. Thunder Bay down to New Orleans, the American music story unfolds. Chasing the river as it twists and turns, this is where my story is told. I went down to Memphis, found Charlie Rich, the sweetest of men, a velvet touch. He told me he got lucky with his number ones. I'm turning 61 on Highway 61. 61 may not be much of a milestone, but it means a lot to me. Never figured I'd live this long. There's so much left to see. My own journey has ranged from sorrow to fun. I'm turning 61 on Highway 61. I'm turning 61 on Highway 61. I'm turning 61 on Highway 61.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show, final music for this edition, Joe Bouchard, Touring Age, Dick Deluxe, Turning 61 on Highway 61. You know where Highway, it's US 61.
Yeah.
Right, Bobby Dylan, right?
Yeah.
It was the way you got to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Along Mississippi. There's some, I was touring with Tad Falco last fall, and actually the Crossroads, they don't know exactly, but it's,
The Robert Johnson Crossroads?
Yeah. Highway 61 is one of them. They, you know, there's debate, of course, but somebody built a sign, you know, but that doesn't mean anything. And,
yeah.
Rogers with Mook, and finally, I'm away, Rachel Hayes, she's going to be a guest Thursday. Speaking of touring, do you have plans to tour the Screw?
We've been touring a lot in France all through spring, basically.
Okay.
We did some summer festivals this month with La Colonie de Vacances, with the show I was telling you about.
Yeah.
And we're doing more shows of La Colonie de Vacances, and we're resuming Papier Tigre in September. We'll be touring Spain. And we'll be touring kind of on and off France and different bands we're playing in. And now that we're fathers, Arthur and I, we kind of try not to tour more than 10 or 15 days in a row. So
no plans for U.S. tour?
Not yet, but we really like to tour the West Coast because we've never been there before.
Oh, man.
And it seems like a good idea. So
yeah, you did.
We want to try and do that. So
a little different than Oklahoma. But I like playing Oklahoma too. If people want to find out about you on the internet, where would they go?
They would go to papiertigre.com.
Yeah, spell that for them.
papiertigre.com.
Yeah, thanks. And I ask everybody this. Most people anyway. If somebody young, or maybe not even young, but just getting into this music stuff, would you have any advice you could give?
Any advice? I would say you have to remain true to why you started. Like, if the most important thing is the music, it's not anything that's going around the music. It'd be like the business or the touring or whatever stuff that goes around. Like, it's not very important. As long as you're true and happy about the music that you're playing, it's the most important thing, whether it's successful or not, whether things are happening or not. I think there's a lot of people who can be very proud of the music that they're playing and that are not successful, and I think there's a lot of people who aren't very happy in their lives and they're still very successful. So I think it's really important to stay true to yourself and why you're doing this.
That's good stuff. Thanks much for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
No, I mean, because look, Papier Tigre now 10 years, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's coming from someplace. There's some experience there.
Yeah, and especially like the more you're doing it, every once in a while, like, man, this is taking so long. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you're disappointed and stuff. But you just have to remind yourself that the most important thing is the music. And if you're happy about what you're creating and you're trying to do, and it's creative, so it's not destructive, you know. So it's a good thing, you know. It's positive. It's going forward. It's not just to, you know, moping around or whatever.
The new baby, boy or girl?
A girl. Her name is Suzanne, and she's a little bit over 2 years old now.
You gonna ask her to play?
She's singing already. Okay. Too much sometimes.
Eric, it's been so great having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, good luck. To your band guys, Arthur and Pierre, also. It's been July 25, 2016 edition of Watt for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.